Welcome to Bellingham Technical College's Money Smarts podcast. I'm your host, Matt Benoit. Each episode, we'll talk with BTC students, staff, community professionals, and financial experts about financial wellness and literacy in order to help listeners navigate resources in the community and empower themselves financially. On today's episode, we continue our conversation with Carmen Matilla about how to protect ourselves against identity theft. Carmen is the North Washington Regional Director of Junior Achievement of Washington. And there's a lot to talk about on the topic of identity theft, so if you haven't listened to part one of this episode, I highly recommend listening back to Identity Theft Protection, part one. So if you are a victim of identity theft, what are the first steps you're going to want to take to deal with it?
So I would say, number one, you want to fill out a police report. Often people don't because they think that, well, I know the police is not going to do anything. The point is not necessarily that they're going to act immediately, that the police is going to go after that individual that maybe stole your wallet or documents or your identity in some way. But what's important is that you will have a document that shows that you did the steps that needed to be required to protect and to make everyone aware that your identity was compromised. So number one, do a police report. Number two, access your bank. Talk to your banker and let them know, I have misplaced, I have lost, I have, someone has stolen my wallet, my car got broken into, my home got broken into, whatever it is. And they will help you with canceling credit cards, canceling debit cards. You might need to set up a new checking account or whatever type of accounts you have that would be easily accessible. They would probably recommend for you to close those accounts so that if they are compromised, it's not going to go anywhere. You set up new accounts with new debit cards, new credit card numbers will be assigned to you. That is very important. If you have creditors and you're concerned about them compromising your relationship with those creditors, you want to reach out to them and let them know that your identity has been compromised. I would recommend that you pull your credit report, make sure that everything looks right, and then I would request a credit freeze. What that means is that no one will be able to apply for credit under your name or social security number. And that is very important. Once you do that, you do want to check your credit, perhaps a little more often, because you want to just make sure that nothing fell through. The other thing that I would do is I would report it to the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. And you can go online at identitytheft.gov. And what they do is once you go to that site, they'll ask you to create an account. But what that does is that provides you with the ability to receive from them form letters that you can then provide to your creditors to make sure that they have all the information they need to understand that they should not be allowing anything to come through without reaching out to you and understanding that you truly meant for that transaction to happen or new relationship. Individuals can also reach the FTC by calling, and I'd like to share this number because I think it's important for everyone to have the ability. Sometimes we assume that everything can be done through the internet, but some people like to make a phone call and have that human connection. So they can reach them at 877-438-4338. And that is an important resource to have. So a combination of creditors, your bank, police report is going to be the first three steps that you want to make sure you take care of when something like this happens.
So obviously the time frame is going to be different depending on who you are and how extensive the level of identity theft might be. But on average, how long does it usually take to solve an identity theft related problem?
You know, that's why it's so important to take action immediately, because the quicker you take action, the less likely you are to be compromised at a level that is going to take, sometimes it can take months, sometimes years to clear up identity theft, because sometimes you don't find out for an extended period of time. I've known individuals who found out that their identity had been stolen when they switched jobs and then their job recruited them back. And when they did the background check, they found out that the person who had stolen their identity was in jail. And because it was an employer that knew them, they were able to say, oh, by the way, did you know? Yeah. And it took going to court. It took really having all types of documents to prove that you are the person that you say you are and not the person that stole your identity and is in jail. I just recently had my sister visit for the first time. We went to Canada and we got stopped and pulled in. You know how they pulled you in? It's like, uh-oh, what happened? And they cleared us, and I asked, I said, what was the problem? Because they were asking my sister questions, and they said, there's a person with the exact same name as your sister in our system who has committed some crimes, and we have to make sure that your sister is not the same person. So you sometimes will have unfortunate situations that will alert you of it, but until you're aware, it can be as quickly as writing a letter to the three agencies to clear your credit, and that can take a few months, and sometimes it can be years because of the level of identity theft that has happened. So it's hard to give a number, really.
Right. So have you yourself ever been a victim of identity theft? To take this from being abstract to personal here.
Sure.
And if so, what happened?
And knock on wood, I have not had it at a large level, but I've had minor incidents, definitely attempts.
Right.
I get attempts all the time. Recently, I got a voice message on my mailbox telling me that the IRS was coming after me, and if I did not return their call, that there would be a warrant out for my arrest, right? They'll try to trick you with things like that. In small scenarios, I've had my credit card compromise. Several years ago, we went on a cross-country trip, and we had to stop and get gas at little remote gas stations, and I think that's how it happened. And when we got home and we looked at our statement, which is why it's so important that you always review your credit card statements, we noticed that there were transactions that we did not execute, and we immediately, my husband and myself, called the credit card and said, nope, those were not authorized transactions, canceled the card, and took immediate care of canceling that card and getting a brand new number so that it wouldn't continue. So things like that have happened, but thank goodness, nothing major.
Yeah, that's...
But I'm very cautious.
Right.
Right?
And I think that's one of the important tips to take away from this episode is be cautious.
You also have to be careful with discarding marketing stuff and pre-approved credit cards and things like that. I always recommend shred things like that. Shred expired debit cards or credit cards, cut them up, shred them, statements, all of those things. And the best tip is if you're going to shred it, don't try to do it with one of those shredding machines that crisscrosses the shredding, so it turns it almost into confetti. If it's just the straight through, they can tape it all back together, and when they dig it out of the recycling or trash. So the best way to make sure that it's truly destroyed so that it's not able to be compromised is the crisscross type of confetti shredding, but that is a great way to try to prevent that as well.
We talk about identity theft protection services. There's companies that specialize in that sort of thing. Some banks, there are some banks locally here that also offer identity theft protection services as part of being a customer with a savings account, that sort of thing. So what do those identity theft protection services actually do, and do you recommend them?
I don't dislike them. They truly are a service of convenience. They don't do anything that you and I can't do on our own, but it's really a matter of what is your time, you know, what price do you put on your time? Because it is time consuming to pull your credit report, to monitor it on a regular basis, review it to ensure that there's no soft hits or hard hits on it that are going to compromise it, or that someone is trying without your knowledge to access it to commit identity theft. So it's really a matter of convenience and your ability to be able to afford that. If you have financial constraints and it's really going to put you in a place where it's going to be detrimental rather than beneficial, then don't do it and just be a little bit more proactive about being cautious about how you protect and share your personal information. Pull your credit report once a year. We also can get our credit report at no cost if you apply for a loan, whether you're approved or not. Once by law, if we apply for any type of loan product, we can say to that lender, you know, I'd like a copy of my credit report, and they will provide it to you. So if you wanted, if you've already pulled it for the once a year at no cost and you want to see it one more time, you are able to do that if by chance you happen to also apply for a loan. But it is important to understand that those monitoring services are a great value for somebody who maybe has an identity and personal things that they really want to ensure are protected and want to have that peace of mind, because they send you emails and notifications letting you know, we checked, everything's good, everything's fine. So if you want that peace of mind and it's worth to you whatever number of dollars they charge, go for it. If it's at no cost, it's even better. Why not? I have done it when we've had for a while, remember in the past, even Equifax, when it was compromised, Target for a while was there, and they were offering free monitoring service for a year for anyone that wanted it who had their services. I've always accepted it. It's not going to hurt for me to have that monitoring service. But for the most part, it's nothing that you and I can't do.
So you mentioned that you can see your credit report or ask for it if you apply for a loan. Now, are we talking any loan? Does that include student loans?
Yes, that includes student loans. So what typically happens is they will provide you with either a phone number or an address to mail requesting that credit report, that copy of your credit report. And then at that point, you will follow up whatever instructions they give you from the lending officer. And they'll typically mail it to you within, I believe, is 1 to 2 weeks. They typically get it to you.
So finally, do you know of any resources in the community that can help folks get educated about identity theft, or maybe any consultants who can meet with folks whose identities have been stolen?
The Law Advocates are a great local resource that can help. There are also, for individuals who have had a credit challenge and maybe have either had to default or have had identity theft and are having to find a resource for credit counseling, there is the Washington State Office of Attorney General. If you search when you're in there, the Debt Relief and Credit Counseling, that will take you to the U.S. Department of Justice, U.S. Trustee Program. And they provide you with an approved list of credit counseling agencies, which is great because that will give it to you by county, by your city, and you can find one that can be in your state. You can also go directly to justit.gov. That's another option. And one last one would be the National Foundation for Consumer Counseling. That one provides a list of certified members as well. So there are a lot of local resources. Like I said, the advocacy local individuals will help. There's a lot of nonprofits, too, that will help you with finding the appropriate support locally.
Is there anything else you wanted to add about the subject of identity theft or its prevention?
I guess what I would say is that it's not as scary as it sounds. If you are aware, you will be fine. It's unfortunately out there. It will touch pretty much everyone's life. like you said earlier, whether you know someone or you have been impacted by it yourself, it is not an end all. It can be overcome, even if it has happened, if it takes a few months or a few years, it can be overcome. And as long as you remain aware and alert and take immediate action when you identify that you might have been a subject of it or your identity may have been compromised, you are going to do the right thing by alerting the appropriate partners, and it'll work itself out as long as you are always remaining alert and aware.
Excellent. Well, Carmen, thank you so much for being here today. And I think we all learned a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
And thanks for listening to this episode of the BTC Money Smarts podcast. Be sure to check out all our episodes on the BTC website. They are loaded with stories, tips, tricks, and strategies for financial literacy. This podcast is produced by Cheryl Kennedy with music courtesy of bensound.com. I'm Matt Benoit. We'll see you next time.